I'd like to give thanks and honor to God for this opportunity to speak to you. I'd like to give thanks to my wife. I don't know if she can hear me now, but she's in the back, but I appreciate her so much. And a lot of times we tell people in person, but we don't broadcast it, but she's a part of me, and I just thank the Lord for her. Reverend Billy Graham tells of a time early in his ministry when he arrived in a small town to preach a sermon. Wanting to mail a letter, he asked the young boy where the post office was. When the boy had told him, Dr. Graham thanked him and said, "If you'll come to the Baptist church this evening, you can hear me tell how to get to heaven." The boy replied, "I don't think I'll be there. If you don't know where the post office is, how are you going to tell me where heaven's at?" Throughout the world, the work of evangelism is growing by leaps and bounds. In Eastern Europe, literally thousands are taking their stand for Christ behind the used-to-be Iron Curtain. The work there is growing faster than we can organize it. In Asia, South America, hundreds are being baptized daily. Africa is where our work is growing the fastest. This once called dark continent is now beaming with light. Many know what it means to be denied freedom. Especially in these parts of the world, people are literally being put in jail and persecuted for their faith. But instead of slowing the work, it only seems to increase the work. We are eyewitnesses to these events by the way of our mission stories, our magazines, Christian radio and TV, and we stand in awe as we see the work growing right before our very eyes. There's a magazine, I don't know if many of you have had an opportunity to see it, but it's called Frontier, and Betty gives it to me every quarter. It's called a Frontier, and in that book is just where our mission work is going, leaps and bounds. If you have an opportunity, ask her for that magazine. When I first came into the church in the late 70s, there were about 2 million Adventists. Now there are more than 6 million Adventists. This is the fastest growing denomination in the world, and rightly so. Our hearts are thrilled as we see the power of God working to change lives in all parts of the world. The sad part is, by and large, none of our friends or our neighbors are Seventh-day Adventists. Wouldn't it be nice if you walked out of your house in the morning and three or four of your neighbors were all going to church with you or going to an Adventist church? I'm very concerned that such a small number of people responded to the invitations to invite 7 people to our meetings. I don't know how many of you filled out those commitment cards, but I pray that it's a larger number than turned into 7 names. It's a sad commentary that as people, Adventists, we don't have many friends outside of the Adventist church, and I don't know why that is. What good is salt if it stays in the shaker? Salt is to be used. The near total neglect of soul winning on the part of the laity in North America is a major concern. The dilemma weighs heavily upon the hearts of every sincere church leader. There is a close proximity between evangelism and witnessing. Witnessing ought to be as natural as breathing. Witnessing, God has given us the gift of speech, and we are accountable to Him for its use. It is said in the Bible that we overcome by the word of our testimony. When others tell me what Christ has done for them or what Christ means to them, I'm a little embarrassed that I wasn't the one who did it first. Have you ever had that experience? No other church in the world has the wealth of counsel and exaltation regarding the importance and the responsibility of every member to be laborers together with God. Many books have been written to instruct us as how to be an effective soul winner and how to share the gospel with others. Many and varied are the ways to evangelize. There is door-to-door. We did some of that here recently. There is lifestyle, what Brad is talking about. This is an effort, but evangelism ought to be a lifestyle. There is tele-evangelism. We see that all the time. There's internet. Don't you know there's talk nets that you can go on and witness to people on the internet? God in His providence has made it so easy for us to share our faith with others. Many classes have been conducted year after year, and yet we hardly engage in the work of evangelism. And in this, we become hearers of the word only and not doers. The command is go into all the world. That command is not to be lost sight of. We are to begin our work where we are nearest. In our own family, there may be souls hungering for sympathy, starving for the bread of life. There may be in our own homes children to be trained for Christ. There are heathens at our very doorsteps. We went to a conference meeting not too long ago, our church board, and they did a survey of this area. And they were telling us in that survey there's almost 2,000 people in this area alone who are unchurched. My desire for us, let us faithfully do the work that is nearest to us. Then let our efforts be extended as far as God's hands lead. Go into all the world. As a body of believers, we should see ourselves as modern John the Baptist. We are people appointed to God to call the world to true holiness. As a people who believe in Christ's soon coming, we have a message to bear. Prepare to meet thy God. Our message must be as direct as the message of John the Baptist, who rebuked kings for their iniquity, even though it put his life in danger. God bestows various talents and gifts upon men, not that they may lay useless, not that they may be employed in amusement or self-gratification, but that they may be a blessing to others to enable men to do earnest, self-sacrificing missionary work. What do you think God's greatest concern is? God's concern is about His relationship with humanity. As Christians, we are compelled to recognize that the chief desire of God is the redemption of lost souls. Ever since the fall of Adam, there has been little else concern for heaven. The church and all auxiliaries are but means to accomplish God's purpose. David, men's ministry should be evangelistic. Women's ministry should be evangelistic. Sabbath school should be evangelistic. Amen. I was glad when our pastor said that He has made it our church board top priority for evangelism. Every member should be actively engaged in the various departments of the church to win souls. All occasions for laboring for souls are God's opportunities for giving the early and latter rain. And without the latter rain, we cannot be sealed. If we should give our lives in total prayer and full meditation and study of God's word, our light would soon grow dim. For light is given that it might be imparted to others. And the more we impart light, the brighter our light becomes. I know as I usually go into homes, haven't done it for a while, and give Bible studies, I would dig because you want to have the answer. You want to be able to give a good response. And you become very familiar with the word. The greatest drama of all times is the acting out on the part of the Godhead, the plan of salvation. And what is that plan? That the God who created this world would condescend, yield his life in atonement for that which he has created. That's the gospel. That's what you need to tell people. God has come to save you. Doesn't need to be a long, perplexed Bible study, but just tell them that God loves them and that you love them too. If there is one thing in life that we should get excited about, it should be the manifesting and seeking and saving of souls. Christ is coming soon, and he is bringing his reward with him to give every man according to his purpose. All the redeemed will have a crown, and all crowns will have at least one star. These stars stand for those who we have won to the Master. Some crowns will be heavily laden with stars, others not so bright. But all will be satisfied with their crowns. One soul saved will, through his godly influence, bring other souls into a knowledge of salvation, and thus the work will be multiplied. There was a little song that I used to sing when I was in the Baptist church, and it went something like this. You bring the one next to you, and I'll bring the one next to me. In no time at all, we'll have them all. So bring them, one by one. Do not hesitate to work for the Lord because you think your little is no importance. Do your little with fidelity. Let us earnestly entreat the Lord that laborers may be raised up, for the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. We are now living in the closing scenes of the world's history. The spirit of darkness has come upon this earth. The record of crime and iniquity is appalling. The wickedness of the wicked is almost beyond comprehension. Millions are living in the shadow of impending doom. We cannot stave the tide of crime, but we can rescue those who would be saved. Let men tremble with a sense of their responsibility of knowing the truth. For Christ has you in the world for such a time as this. The world is perishing in sin and is to be enlightened. The lost sheep is to be brought into the fold. Jesus said, other sheep I have are not of this fold. Will you join in the search? There are many who are reading the scripture who cannot understand their true importance. All over the world, men and women are wanting to go to heaven. Prayers and tears go up from these souls longing for understanding. They're just waiting to be gathered in. What shall we do? Shall we continue in our own pursuit of what the world has to offer? Or shall we accept our divine appointment and work faithfully as John did? To continue on in lethargy and apathy is to delay the Lord's coming, and so by doing jeopardize our own salvation. The work of the church, the message is to go into all the world. That message is that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. We have the most solemn truth to proclaim a testing message for these days. Men soon will be forced to make a decision. A decision that will determine their eternal destiny. And they must have an opportunity to hear and understand biblical truth in order that they may take their stand intelligently on the side of Christ. Christ's love for us is so fervent that our half-hearted, lukewarm response cannot help but sadden him. Yet while Christ is saddened by our attitude, he does not cast us aside. His words of loving rebuke are, "I wish that you were hot or cold. I would spew you out of my mouth," are designed to draw us back into a living experience with him. His fervent desire is that a change take place, that there be a true and lasting revival, a rekindling of the fires of our first love. We must first recognize, before anything else, our need. Such a revival is our greatest need. It will come, and it will be soon. In light of the fact, we must ask ourselves, why not now? Why not with me? There's an old Adventist saying, get off your seat, get on your feet, and get in the street. I like to quote from the movie E.T., if we go, they will come.